My name is Connor. I'm an alcoholic. I really want to thank everyone for being here, and really want to thank Alcoholics Anonymous in general. And my sponsor, Damien over here, he asked me to speak the 10-minute spot tonight about a few hours ago. And it's my first time doing such a thing. He just told me to stick to the basics, share what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now, and never let the truth get in the way of a good story. So here I go. You know, I'll just start off with the basics. I'm just barely over a year sober. My sobriety date's August 27th, 2012. I'm originally from Santa Barbara, California. And I guess that's kind of the basics. So I was born and raised in Santa Barbara, California, to a real good family. My mother and father, they're still together. Not alcoholics at all, so I couldn't really see where the genetic thing fit into my life. However, my sister is an alcoholic. She's 2 years sober at this moment. I was raised, like I said, to a great family, so that was definitely not a condition for me to become alcoholic. I was raised also at a small Catholic school. I went there for 8 years. I had a great upbringing in the Catholic Church. Still have a lot of respect for it. Did not have that, it seems to be that general bad experience that most people have had. Anyways, you know, my drinking started off pretty much, I'll get to that. My drinking started off right at high school. I was about 14 years old when I first had my first drink. I don't have the experience of feeling not a part of and all those other things that I've heard others say, but I do have this experience of, which I've read in the big book, was the general sense of having irritability, restlessness, and discontentment with everything in my life. And how that manifests in itself for me is that growing up, I was completely always restless. You know, I was diagnosed with ADD or whatever that means. I think most people were, but at least my age were. It seems to be. I was never medicated for it, and I didn't know. But you know, a few years later, I would find a pretty suitable medication. That was alcohol, and I proceeded through my life just being really hyper, just really discontent. You could give me the world. I wanted the universe. And, you know, it was just the type of thing, it's like, where I could, someone would give me a $100 bill, and I'd say, that's really nice, but, you know, $120 would really make my day. And nothing was ever good enough, ever good enough. And my drinking, you know, it was not a problem for me for a long, long time. You know, I went through, I had that conviviality the book talks about, it was a good time. I would black out, but no serious consequences ever entered my life. And I hung with a lot of people who drank hard, and we partied hard, and it was just kind of the common theme was just to go out, drink as much as you can, have as much fun, get in fights, and do whatever you felt like doing. At about 19 years old, I got a DUI. You know, I know that's not a qualification to be an alcoholic, but the thing is that when I came in to the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, it was due to that DUI. And it was a punishment from the courts, and that's what I saw it as. And I saw Alcoholics Anonymous as a punishment for bad behavior for a long time. And that's why I just really didn't identify with people when I first came in the room. I heard a lot of feelings. I heard a lot of emotions people were having, and I really couldn't identify. I wasn't ready to take the steps. I wasn't ready to surrender. I wasn't really ready to do much but keep drinking, and I'm glad I did to this day. You know, I really am thankful for every drink I've taken because it has led to this point in life. Anyways, with that said, you know, that DUI, total blackout, I thought it was hilarious. I got pulled over, I put my hands out the window, I just started laughing, and I said, arrest me. And it was just a joke to me, and I just kept going on like that, you know. And the thing is, for me, my will gets me pretty far, and this day, and today, you know, I can understand that, you know, if my life were to be run on self-will 100% of the day, because it still is about 90% of the day. You know, I try my hardest, but it still is. You know, and I get everything that I want. I do shortchange myself. You know, being in Alcoholics Anonymous and turning over some of that will to God, or, you know, attempting to turn all of it over, has brought me more than I could ever have asked for. Anyways, so I basically just kept going on self-will, and I went into college, and I was always really good at school. Like I said, I was really pretty hyperactive, always getting in trouble. My report cards always had the grades, and then they had the conduct. And I had good grades and horrible conduct, and that was just the theme for my life. It was like, I could do well under pressure. If you give me the assignment, I'll get it done. I'll impress you, but that's just so that I can go out and do whatever I want to do. So by the time I ended up going to school, I came down to San Diego. I went to UC San Diego, where my drinking, you know, it progressed, but I went there a little bit later, so I didn't really have that new college age experience where you just get to school and you get, you know, let loose. For me, I felt like the partying was over. And it was around that time also that I experienced an injury. And I know this is Alcoholics Anonymous, but drugs are part of my story, and it does play a lot into the ism of my alcoholism. I was, you know, introduced to some opiates, and I kind of went off in that direction, and I don't want to go too much into depth with it, but that's kind of where I went with it. And what ended up happening to me about 5 years later, I had graduated from UCSD, and I was bartending, because that was like my dream job, was always to be a bartender. And I had achieved that, so I was just doing great. But it came to the point where I couldn't hold that job. I was drinking away all the profits. I had, you know, just to put it out, I had, you know, I was ended up showing up in the hospital, track marks in my arms, and I was supposed to have, in my mind, I was doing everything right. I was doing everything that people had asked me to do. I had the job. I had gone to school, but there was this deep pit in my stomach, in my soul, that I was filling with alcohol, and my life turned out to be completely unemployable. My days consisted of riding the bus, convincing the bus driver to let me on the bus for free with a stolen bottle of alcohol so I could go to the methadone clinic and hang out for the day. And that just, it just slowly spiraled down. And I'll start to get sober here. Pretty much what ended up happening is I left San Diego because San Diego is definitely the problem. Moved back to Santa Barbara. Santa Barbara is also a problem because it's in Southern California. Went to Colorado because, you know, I read it later in Bill's story that he escapes to the mountains as well, and it's funny that I did the same thing. I got out there, ended up coming right back to Santa Barbara, but this time I was put into a psychiatric care unit before I came back and told for people to come get me and bring me back. It was just going terribly, and it all spiraled downhill, and it kind of came to a point where I was in Santa Barbara in a complete blackout, totally unemployable, no family, no friends, and just a mess. And I got arrested in a blackout, facing some serious charges and some serious prison time. By the grace of God, he intervened, I believe, through the power of a judge. And I don't think I'd ever would have ever said that in the past, but I really do believe that was what happened. And I somehow wound up at the Freedom Ranch, and God bless the Freedom Ranch too, because what introduced me to Alcoholics Anonymous, and I identified in that book is what happened. All these feelings I'd had inside my whole life, and I was never able to verbalize them or communicate them or explain how I felt. I just confused and lost. I read them in a book, and I was amazed that that was actually the case. I identified with almost everything in that book. And then, I surrendered up at the Freedom Ranch, and I asked for help. I asked for help from my sponsor, showed up one day to do a fifth step with me. And from there, it's just been, it's just been downhill so far. You know, it's been a year, so I'm very new to sobriety. For me, a major part of my sobriety is service commitments. Getting out, you know, one alcoholic helping another alcoholic is what solves the day for me every time. You know, it talks about that in working with others, how practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity as intensive work with another alcoholic. And that is my insurance plan. You know, whenever I'm feeling down, whenever I'm feeling a little bit less than, whenever I'm basically wrapped up in self, like I usually am, like I was just before I came up here, going out, talking to another alcoholic, reading the book with another alcoholic, it saves the day every time. And I really, really am thankful for all you guys here, and thank you for letting me talk.